When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Up and running. We're doing it. I'm not even going to give you time to get prepared. Bo Rude's in the house. We haven't done this in a while. We got the YouTube going. We're back, baby. We are back. We're, what is this? Today is Friday, December 30th.
I'm touching the Kansas ball.
Touching the Kansas ball. You got it all. You got it all.
The video is back, folks. YouTube is back.
We're back. We're back and we're doing it. We got a lot to get to. Some of the stuff is like, there's some news things in the Husker football world that you and I haven't really had an opportunity to sit and discuss.
Yes.
And
yes.
We're going to get into that. So we're heavy Husker football on a variety of things. We said when we did our signing day pod, as I pour my raspberry bubbly, I was going to leave some meat on the bone. Well, this is the rest of the meat on the bone. Can we get right into the big thing that I've just been dying to talk to you about?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
The fact that Matt Rhule kept Donovan Raiola. We touched on it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Let me lay out some things and then we'll unpack it. So Matt Rhule was asked in his press conference kind of about keeping Donovan Raiola. And he said Donovan Raiola was trained by Harry Highstand, who's just, I don't know, we could go.
Harry and the Hendersons?
Harry and the Hendersons. Harry Highstand. So that's the same system that Matt Rhule is trained in. So, which I understand there's probably like terminology, how they teach things, whatever. Said he wanted that to be the system he ran in Nebraska. So that was something that was compatible. And he also said he liked Donovan's vibe and energy and it was a natural fit.
Yes.
I guess we'll stop there for a second. That all can be true. Harry and the Hendersons, you trained with Harry and the Hendersons.
You trained with Harry and the Hendersons. I've seen that movie. Great movie. I like your vibes.
He could have liked him, trained with Harry and the Hendersons. But I am of the school of thought that this is 1,000% about Dylan Raiola. Do you agree with that? Matt Rhule keeping Donovan Raiola as the offensive line coach is all in an effort to land Dylan Raiola?
I will start by saying that, you know, I've talked to people about this and I think that's kind of the consensus, mm-hmm. right? The narrative, though, is that Donovan Raiola is Dominic Raiola.
Okay, there's two. We got to get this.
But Dominic was not a good coach.
Donovan Raiola. Dominic's still.
We're
gonna get this right. So you're saying Donovan?
The
narrative. Yes, the coach. Donovan. Yes. Donovan Raiola is
the
coach.
Was the former player. Okay.
Dominic Wilkins, former player, just trying to get some sort of stupid connection.
Sorry. Right. Yeah, my brain just flipped those two around. But that he was not a good coach.
Right. Right. Billy Donovan was the coach. Dominic Wilkins was the player.
Dylan.
And Dylan
is the neighbor next door.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Keep going on Donovan Raiola, the narrative.
Donovan Raiola.
Yes.
But that he's not a good coach because obviously the line didn't play well.
Right.
I think he actually is a good coach, but here's where we have to be real. Like, I think he is a good coach. His line didn't have a great year, right?
Right.
Matt Rhule likes the system. Maybe he recognizes this guy might be a good coach, vibes. All right. But like, if your nephew is not Dylan Raiola, if Dylan is the kid next door that works at Burger King, who's got acting and is just trying to make the chess team or something, you know, like,
right.
What are the odds he gets kept? The only coach that gets kept, right? Where, you know, a Sean Becton's had a lot of success recruiting Sean Becton's nephew was the number one quarterback in the country. Does Sean Becton keep his job?
Yes.
I think that's the part where you go, would he have kept Donovan?
Yes.
There's a maybe, at best 50%, maybe less. Maybe it's 25. Maybe it's 25. Maybe it's less. But if your nephew is the number one quarterback in the country,
right,
who would maybe come here because you're here, and you're a pretty good coach. That's the part where it might be even – that might not be fair to Donovan, but
– Well, you can make the case. I think it was Schick made the point when I was talking to him. He was like, let's be honest, two coaches have now hired Donovan Raiola in probably efforts to have a good opportunity to land Dylan Raiola with Frost.
Yeah.
And now Matt Rhule. Where, like, I think it's one of those things. This is a classic scenario where, like, multiple things can be true at the same time. It doesn't have to be all this and all that. Like, I think let's stick with Donovan for a second. Like, because Rhule even said, he said that he's, I thought it was interesting in his press conference. He was like, listen, there's a narrative around here that the offensive line was the problem. And he was like, I don't agree with that. And he went into the whole thing of, like, you have to have an identity where, like, are we going to throw it? Are we going to run it? And when that's the case, you put your O-line in a tough spot. You know, he even referenced the fact that he made Marcus Satterfield, when he came to Carolina, go coach the offensive lineman because that gives you a better understanding of how to call plays. But in defense, like, if you're building a defense, if we are Saul Goodmaning, after we just defended Gabe Irvin, and then in walks Donovan Raiola into the Albuquerque, New Mexico, you know, court.
Yeah.
You could build a compelling case and be like, here's the thing. Last year, Cam Jurgens left. I don't know if people necessarily anticipated that. Cam Jurgens left. Noelle tests positive for whatever. Some drug test failed. He's out for the year. He was going to be a starter. Teddy Peño ass down, came back, could not pin anybody's ass down, and gets hurt. And there might have even been one more injury that I'm forgetting. But those are significant. Those are at least three starters that they lost. Then also your head coach gets fired three games in, so there's a lot of chaos. All of a sudden Mickey's the head coach, Whipple's now fully in charge, Whip wants to whip that thing around. Like, there's a bunch of different things like that. So, like, you could make the case that all those things worked totally against Donovan Raiola.
Yes, and Don, I mean, and you know, I'll give Donovan this too, is you know, Mickey was probably going to get retained too. So, you know, he was trying to retain. But it's also like, I don't think Donovan really was pulling recruits at the time. You know, so
I heard from a lot of people that he doesn't have – it was Mike Schaefer, 24/7 Sports, covers recruiting, said it's not like Donovan has a unbelievable track record even in a short period of time of being an amazing recruiter.
Yeah, so, like, that's the part where you kind of go, like, look, like, it's pretty obvious and – you know, and this is where you brought up what Rhule saying about the offensive line. I think that's Rhule being smart. You know what Rhule's doing there? Is he saying he knows better than, like, throwing the offensive line and the old staff on the bus and telling these players to hit the bricks. Because you know what? He needs some of these guys to get better and play well for him. So do you know what his philosophy there is? Going, I don't think it's these old linemen are bad.
Right.
You know what he's saying? He's trying to reach out to the guys that are still on this team and say, don't go in the portal. I actually need some of you.
Especially those old linemen going into the portal would be a disaster.
Teddy P, Cochran, Noelle, he needs those guys.
Yes.
He needs those guys back. So by him saying that, I don't think he's pretending that, like, he saw something that the rest of us missed. Like, they played bad last year.
Yes, they were bad.
Not a good offensive line. Yes.
Right.
But he's very smart in the sense of he's not trying to throw his offensive line under the bus right now, because he needs those guys.
Right.
So he needs some of those guys to.
So there could be, yes, right. You're right.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
Like, what he's saying is more not necessarily like reality. It's more like he's trying to recruit his own guys.
Sure. So there is that. Like, you, who knows? You do fire, you don't retain Donovan Raiola. Maybe a lot of those guys leave, and now you're in a. It's one thing to go into the portal and go find a handful of receivers. You can go do that. What do we talk about all the time? Our pizza dough topping thing. Like, it's hard to go into the portal and field an offensive line that's going to go be serviceable. So he probably knew that as well.
Yeah, you don't mess with your big guys. I think that's probably, like, even, as much as it's true that they weren't good, it's also true that, like, it's hard to get any big guys. So, like, the decent ones you got, you better, especially the younger ones, you know, Cochran and Teddy P still, like, those guys, you really,
yeah,
you need those two guys big time.
Oh, for sure. And I know we'll talk about it in a little bit. Like, the D line has had a mass exodus,
yes,
that we'll get into as well. So, but at the end of the day, and I'm not like, if you're looking at this, the only it's like, okay, here's Donovan Raiola. He's got 1 year of being a position coach experience in college. That 1 year, his offensive line performed poorly, regardless of whose fault it is.
Yeah.
It performed poorly. He's not known or has a reputation of being this dynamic, amazing recruiter. So,
and he doesn't have a huge coaching resume.
No, he's got his resume is very, very
assistant coach in the NFL. Like, he's never been like the guy at a school or an NFL team for multiple years. Like, his resume is small.
So you look at all that. That does not sound like a guy that you want to keep, except when his nephew is the number one player in the country.
Yeah.
And not only is he the number one, it'd be one thing if his number is Dylan Raiola was the number one player in the country. And he was an outside safety. Linebacker, yeah, or a safety. You go, okay. I mean, you can, but when he's a quarterback, and
it's a change your program position.
Yes, it is. And so, and the fact that he retains Donovan Raiola, and just a few days later, Dylan Raiola decommits from Ohio State. And then Matt Rhule, right after that news, he tweeted the gif of the Undertaker waking back up in the ring.
Yeah.
And he tried to say it didn't have anything to do with that, but, like, we all know that. I mean, the Undertaker came back.
Yeah.
You know? And so that's like, hey, Nebraska's back. What an amazing – I mean, is this amazing? Paul, his associate was Paul Bearer, right? And they came with the urn, right?
Yeah,
the urn,
he was just very. Oh yeah,
so good.
We ate it up though. We ate it up.
That was great. Oh. What was his finishing move? The Undertaker,
Tombstone.
Oh, that's
it. Yeah. Tombstone pile driver.
God. By the way, you remember when you power bombed your nephew?
Oh, I know.
Bro was probably like he was the perfect size. He was like 4
when we were probably 10. He was 4.
And so he was the perfect size that, like, you could actually, like, we had power bombed so many pillows that all of a sudden it was like, oh my God, here's a little person
who wanted to play.
Who wanted to play. And we're like, you want to get, you power bombed him in the basement.
You never did?
I think I knew better than that. But side note, okay, so yeah. He tweets the Undertaker game. But, like, I guess for me, you can say all you want.
Like a hard floor, like on the pillows.
Yeah. You know, you didn't, like, we didn't go out in the concrete, you powerbomb. It was like on the pillows. Yeah. But nevertheless, like, it was like a legitimate powerbomb.
It was a real powerbomb.
Oh, yeah, he powerbombed him. I mean, it was one of those things as a kid you've waited. I mean, you sit there and you were waiting for the day. At 10, you can't pick anybody up and do that, you know? Like,
it's too hard to do probably each other at that time.
Yeah, we couldn't. I mean,
you're too weak.
Yeah. Way too weak to get someone. I mean, that's hard. That's like a hang clean into like a press and a med ball slam. You know,
good.
It is pretty good.
Good move.
It is. It's a great move. I mean, what a great move. I think this is all about Dylan Raiola, and I wonder. I would love to have been a fly on the wall. What were the conversations like when Rhule sat down with
Donovan? Yeah, because here's the part that I find interesting about it. Right. If you're Rhule and Raiola, it's not that it's a bad thing if, like, we'll keep you, you know, because your nephew wants to come where you're at. He wants to come to Nebraska if you're here. Great. I'm happy with that. What's odd is if it's like, hey, I'm Donovan Raiola and my nephew might come if you keep me, but maybe he won't. Like, what's that game like? To me, it doesn't
great
make
point.
Sense.
If he's
not coming, it's like, what's the selling point then if you can't guarantee he's coming?
That's a great point. I guess I never looked at it that way of, like, truly. And maybe this is why, in my mind, I think it's an inevitability. Like, I think it is, like, it might happen. No, I think it is happening.
Yeah.
Because to your point, I don't know how you – if you're Rhule, you probably sat across the table from Donovan and said, if you can guarantee me Dylan's coming, you're staying.
Yeah.
If it's maybe, I mean, if you're Rule,
yeah,
because your O-line hire is a huge hire.
Yeah.
The Dick Bob Podcast is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors, and I want to talk to you guys about energy efficiency. And if you go onto Pella's website right now, you look at it, and how about this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different types of windows or doors. By Pella, won the Energy Star 2020 Most Energy Efficient Award. That's big time stuff right there. And they achieved that in a couple of ways. They got insulated glass, which slows the heat transfer, keeping your home at a more comfortable temperature. They got types of low E glass, which is a glass coating that has been optimized for your climate. They got triple pane glass, which you can upgrade to for increased insulating airspace. And within all of that, one of the keys is proper installation, which is key for window and doors to perform at their best. And you know the Pella experts are excellent at that. Bottom line, energy efficiency matters in making your home more comfortable, and Pella windows and doors are at the top of the line when it comes to energy efficiency. Check them out online, PellaOmaha.com. That's PellaOmaha.com. You don't want to mess that up and just for the chance that you might land Dylan. So I'm with you, like,
but see, how do you negotiate? Like, how is
I don't
that
know.
Even? Because that's like probably like a tampering thing. Like, you can't do that in recruiting. I don't think.
I don't know. I don't know how. I know.
But it's also like it's a touchy subject because I'm guessing they, without saying it, they had to say it, right?
Yes.
Because you can't, Matt Rhule can't ask that, and Donovan can't say that.
And probably. Donovan can't guarantee. I mean, it's like Donovan's not Dylan.
Yeah. And, Dylan probably has to be the one saying, like, somewhere, something along the lines of like, I want to come to Nebraska, but I just want it to feel like home.
Right.
And I just want to make sure someone's looking out for me, you know, wink, wink, you know,
yes.
Like, and I don't know that they can actually be like, I need you to hire my uncle. I need you to, you know, like, I don't know if it can be said like that.
I don't know either. I just,
and I'm guessing Matt Rhule didn't lay it out like
that. Yeah. In that black and white of terms, but I think we all know that it's probably that. Everything is insinuated.
Yes, with it that. Is insinuated. It's got to right. be.
Yeah. I mean, again, I think so. Do you like right now? We're in Vegas. If I could bet a lot of money on, like, I think it's a certainty that Dylan's coming.
I bet you, I would say it's 80%.
I think it's
more. I don't think, I mean, that's, it could be more, but man, it's like, it's also interesting. He, okay, then let's think about this. Like, he was not committed before Matt Rhule.
Right.
So what does it say?
Well, no, he was committed. You're saying he wasn't committed to Nebraska.
Correct.
Maybe
he wasn't willing to come to Nebraska unless it's Matt Rhule and his uncle. Because it was his uncle and Scott Frost, he wasn't willing to commit.
Right. And maybe there was something about Frost that he didn't like.
That's the part that's kind of interesting.
There's something about Frost he didn't like. And there maybe that here's what is recruiting just repellent,
yeah,
is a situation where a coaching situation is unstable.
True. That's true.
Where he's looking, if you're Dylan, you go, man, I go there and Frost is fired.
Who am I getting?
Who am I getting? All that stuff. So I think it was a combination of a bunch of those things. But just the fact that it is, he was committed to Ohio State. And that makes sense. I mean, Ohio State's become wide receiver U. Yeah. Like, you are going to have the best wide receivers in the country.
Always good alignment.
Always good alignment. Like, it's quarterback paradise in some ways. The fact that Donovan gets kept, and then a few days later, he decommits from Ohio State. I mean, like, not. That's, I mean, if we're close. Detectives, we're like, now what could this mean? Do we have a warrant? Like, there's enough for a warrant.
It's basically like there's, like, a dead body in the floor. There's like a guy holding a knife, and he's like, "I'm like, okay, let's think about this. I don't know that he killed that guy. Have you been here all night?" He's like, "Yes, I have." Been
here all night. Okay, well, hold on.
I still don't know if he killed that guy.
Yes, that's what it is, though.
Are you related to the person? Yes, he's my father, and I hate him. Okay.
That's what it is, though. Yeah. It's guy, knife, dead body. He hates the guy that is laying dead, but we cannot officially
charge him
with crime. We could be suspicious.
So we have our suspicions.
I'm very suspicious.
Thinking about getting a warrant.
I'm very suspicious. If there would be a warrant for the arrest of Dylan Raiola in Nebraska, if I were chief Wiggum, There would be a
cuff him, Lou.
Get him, boys. Go get Dylan, boys. That's what would happen.
Chief, I'll get Chief.
Okay, with Dylan, I guess then the question becomes, like, let's put ourselves in Matt Rule's position. Is it worth keeping a potential O-line coach if you can land the number one player in the country, the number one quarterback in the country? It's a fascinating, fascinating.
Yeah, but see, I that's right. I don't think it's fair to call him. I think like he's a pretty good
Donovan,
coach.
You're a DD. You're a Donovan defender.
I am a Donovan defender.
You like them double Bs, boy. You're a Donovan defender.
The right narrative is that he probably was kept because of his nephew. The wrong narrative is that he's a terrible coach. I don't think he's a bad coach. I think he might be a good coach.
Yeah, I guess I don't. Yeah, I think that's probably fair.
I'm just telling you, I watched a couple of those interior linemen and tackles we had have just been.
With McGee. Standstill Jones. Frankie Falstaff.
Yeah. So, I mean, we just have had. We've had some guys that just haven't been great performers. I think the coach has to take some blame for that, for sure. But I don't think it's fair to call him like a terrible coach. They're not all his recruits.
Okay, I'll give you that. Okay, let me try to rephrase it, because in a court of law, you'd have said objection. What would a hearsay or that's his what objection? Yeah. Okay, let me rephrase it. Is it worth keeping an offensive line coach that you have no connection with, that has no
unproven.
He's got 1 year as a position coach. Is it worth keeping that guy if it can land you the number one recruit in the country, the number one quarterback in the country?
My answer is yes.
My answer
is yes. If you can get him, yes. Like right. I'm just because if you get the number one quarterback in the country, there's a chance he's the next Mahomes or Peyton, or usually that's the case.
Like, yeah, he's the next Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields.
Yeah, there's a Tua, chance there.
Like, yeah,
these. You know.
Now, I was looking through. There's also a lot of there's been a lot of five-star, top quarterbacks that have, not panned out to be much. But there also have been the Tua, Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence, those kinds of guys. Oh boy, at Bama right now, Bryce Young.
Yeah,
but
see, I think. The risk reward of it is probably there's more reward. You know what I mean? The risk is your O-line play is not as good as it could be. The reward is you get a program changing quarterback who sets your program on a trajectory that you could never have got to, whether your O-line play was great or crappy before.
Well, and landing the number one quarterback in the country is going to attract other top-level recruits. So that's the other thing that it does. And I think, so it's not only would you land other potential five-star wide receivers, but I think you could land a top lineman. You want to go play, as a recruit, you want to go play with the best quarterback in the country, understanding the importance of that position. So you might end up getting better O-line because Dylan Raiola, the number one recruit, is there. My analogy in my pod a couple pods ago was I got to assume, I'd love to know how it works in Hollywood. Like when you land a certain actor, that gets other actors on board.
For sure.
If
you hear T. Cruz or DiCaprio or Brad Pitt in a movie, everybody's lining up to just jump on, right?
Because I want, one of my underrated Hanks films is Catch Me If You Can. I love that movie.
Yeah.
I mean, when you hear that Frank Abagnale is going to be played by Leo, maybe then Hanks is like, well, I'll go, I'm in there.
Or even here, it's like, it's a Spielberg movie, right? Yeah, that's the type of thing, like, I'm in. It doesn't even matter what it is, I'm in. That's where these coaches, head coaches and quarterbacks are probably the two people that you like, if it's a certain caliber there, they will attract talent.
Yes, yes. So I think it's worth it. I think it's a fascinating scenario to watch. I am of the school of thought that I would put it more than 80%. I think it's in the 90% that Dylan is going to be a Husker.
The question is, how soon will he commit? Because to me, the longer he goes without committing, the more it's going to be a little bit more of a, he'll help Nebraska the earlier he commits for that reason.
Totally agree. Like, if you're coming, jump in.
Because then you can recruit as a recruit.
Right. I totally agree. So what timeline, what point do we get past, like, hearing, like, if it gets to July and he hasn't committed, is it, if he needs to commit the next month?
I mean, for him to take it all the way to
the fall?
To the fall and stuff, like, that seems, unless he wants to see a year of Matt Rule's team, I mean, maybe he's literally just, he goes, I need to see it.
Before. Which I can understand, but at the same time, like, if you want to, I would also tell Dylan, like, what we're saying, like, you want to give yourself the best chance to have the best people around you. Yeah. The sooner you jump in, the sooner Leo is Frank Abagnale Jr., the sooner you're going to get other people. The sooner.
You know what's funny? It's funny. I went to a game in, it was October, maybe, or early November, and Dylan and his family were there.
Yeah.
And I was, because I had passes. Yeah. And I would go into the. I go.
Did
in the
you see coaching. Dylan?
I did. I was in the like the players' lounge up in the coach's office. I went into my. I go to my brother's office.
Yeah, I went with you. Yeah.
And I steal some of those waters and drinks. Yeah. And I take them back out. It's great. Can't do that anymore. Right. Unfortunately,
that sucks.
But I went in the players' lounge to get a coffee because they have coffee. They get coffee. So I was getting a coffee to go, and Dylan was in there. I was like, I thought he committed to Ohio State. Like, what's he doing in here?
Right.
And I thought, oh, he's just using another official visit, maybe just to see his uncle and visit and get a game. I was like thinking about that because I had no concept of.
Isn't there another younger Raiola?
There was another younger that was one that was maybe taking a
visit. Unofficial or something like that. How did Dylan look?
I mean, he's a pretty big kid, but he's like wearing sweats and those.
Was he tall? I guess I'm not even sure what his measure was.
I think he's about 6'3".
Because.
Yeah, I mean, they're big boned kids, you know, like the Raiolas are you know, dominant.
6'3", 220.
I mean, he's a big kid. He's not like 6'5", but he's like 6'3".
6'3", 220 is pretty big.
Yeah. But I was just like, I remember at the moment, I kind of just like, I didn't put two together. Like, I never thought he was coming here.
No, because he was coming in, at that point, he was at Ohio State.
He was Ohio State, but the fact that he came back means I think that whether that, it was Matt Rule or Mickey Joseph.
You want to take another peek at it?
I think there was something there to the new, to Donovan and a new staff.
Right.
I think there was something there.
Yeah. I mean, for sure. Yeah. I mean, think if you want to see the campus and see things as much as you can.
Yeah.
So.
Cause that's a big time to come back again. Cause I mean, you know, he was still in football season, I think, at the time.
Yes.
So that was a big tell that I missed. And I saw the guy in person. I was like, that's nothing.
Right.
I literally thought, that's nothing.
See, okay, so.
I should have asked him. I walked by him and said, hey.
Dylan.
You coming here?
Dylan, you coming? So, okay, there you go. I've been wanting to talk to you about that for like a while now. The other thing I just got a bunch of Husker stuff I'm throwing at you. We talked about this a little bit, but we got to expand on it. Casey Thompson is officially staying.
Yep.
He had shoulder surgery. The way I understand it, he's not going to be ready for spring football. Creates an interesting dynamic.
Yeah.
I think it's challenging when a new staff takes over and you're not ready for the spring. But at the same time, like, Adrian Martinez had surgery and he went to a new system in Manhattan for Kansas State and didn't play in the spring, but he started.
Yeah.
I think it's huge that Casey Thompson is back. I've said this before, I've fallen in love with the new thing one too many times and assuming that the new quarterback and the new stuff is going to be better. And I'm not falling for that again. Jeff Sims might be good. I have seen Casey Thompson do it. I think Casey Thompson is good enough. I think Casey Thompson will be the day one starter. When they play at Minnesota to start the year, I think he's the starter. I guess two parts. What do you think about Casey staying? Do you think he's the day one starter?
Love that Casey's staying. That's good. I mean, like I said, I'm a big fan of him. This shoulder surgery, it's his left shoulder, I believe.
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it's left. And, you know, like I said, that recovery's shoulder, it kind of will slow you down. I think he'll be ready. I don't think a new system will bother him. He's a veteran. He's old. older guys can pick it up faster. Yes. Just how it is. I know it's like, it's going to be a lot, but he's going to get some reps over the summer. It's, you know, so he'll be a little rusty. By fall camp, he'll get his reps in. He should be ready to go. Because he is old enough, he'll be able to handle digesting a new playbook. He's been through it. He's had in-game reps. He understands concepts. It will be okay. It won't be too hard for him. So he's been through two or three systems now. He'll be able to get it. Now, what's interesting is after even our last conversation, this Jeff Sims, there's just more coming out about him and Matt Rhule, how much Matt Rhule really likes it. This guy, one of Matt Rhule's former coaches that he coached yep. with, you know, recruited and recommended this guy. There's that connection. So Sims is sort of resume now is standing out to Matt Rhule apparently as much as anybody. So what I mean by that is like I think it was Mitch Sherman thinks that right now Jeff Sims is in the driver's seat to be the guy.
Right.
And I was like, oh, that's surprising because Casey, I was like, damn, Casey's been good. So I still think Casey right now to me is my guy, but it's interesting to hear how much they like this Jeff Sims and how athletic and how much of a talent he actually is.
So I'm trying to figure out. I agree, by the way. And I Rhule even dropped a little nugget. We talked about this, how he said NFL people reached out and said, you know, get this kid, right? Like, you know, I mean, he's a specimen. He's a, yeah, he can run, all that stuff.
The Nick Bob Podcast is powered by Runza. You know, there are a lot of ways to greet someone. Hey, hi, hello, what's up? Another way is, what's popping? Well, here's the thing. That greeting has taken on a new meaning now because the answer to what's popping is now Runza's new popcorn chicken. That's what's popping. Runza's new popcorn chicken is amazing. Little, bite-sized, delicious all white meat chicken that make any day better immediately. I love them. My wife loves them. My kids cannot get enough. 2-year-old Mac, 6-year-old Mava are constantly wanting to get it popping. Great for a snack, great for a meal. Pair them with the best crinkle fries on planet Earth, and you are set. All I got to say is you need to get out to a Runza location nearest you and get it popping. What's so hard to understand about that? Get it popping with Runza's all-new popcorn chicken. Runza makes it all better.
I'm trying to think of the time. So he spent 3 seasons at Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
Now, the COVID thing makes it kind of, it's like playing blackjack with an ace comes out. You're like, okay, I'm at 15, or what am I at? You know, you like addition, it becomes a problem. But with a COVID year. So I guess what I'm trying to figure out is how many seasons of eligibility does Jeff Sims have at Nebraska? Because then there's other, to circle back to what we talked about, there's Dylan Raiola waiting in the wing.
Yep.
And he's a 2024 guy. And if you're bringing in that, he's starting.
Yep.
So I don't know.
Maybe. Actually, I think that's a I think most of these kids think they're ready to start. Some are and some are.
No, I would assume the plan. I would think if you're bringing him in, you're assuming he's going to start. You don't know, but I would think you're like, all right, I'm bringing in the number one quarterback in the country. Unless proven otherwise, I'm thinking he's likely going to be the guy.
Yeah, I think that's. Here's what I think. I think you plan your future around. I think the first 4 to 12 games, you don't need to rush him out.
Sure.
Right. You got to make sure your line's ready. You know, or you have the guy that's like, hey, we're going to start the older guy for the first part of the year and see how he does. You really ready.
Because that's kind of happening with Tua.
Yeah. You get him ready to succeed, you know? And then it's like, if it becomes really obvious, hey, this guy's just better, then you make it happen eventually. But
no,
I don't think you rush the young kids. I think I'm a believer in like, man.
I know. I am too. Usually, I'm just saying like these guys anymore. Like,
I mean, but you can. I don't know if you can guarantee anybody. Like, even the number one quarterback, you can say pretty much like, look, I think you're going to play.
Right.
But like, if you are not better than the veteran court, like a Casey Thompson versus a true freshman superstar, it's in a year, the superstar will be better than him, right? But Casey, like the veteran guys in the first six games of a year, I think there is something about that, like a brand new, you know, brand new deer trying to walk.
Yeah.
It's still tricky being a true freshman, making that transition from high school to college. It is fast, man. So there's few and far between that have been able to walk in as a true freshman and play the first game.
Right. I guess the good thing about Sims is that he's not like a freshman where if he's the starter, then Dylan goes, well, wait a minute.
I think
that the timeline could work out okay, whether Casey's the starter or Jeff Sims is the starter for a Dylan Raiola to come in.
He's played three years.
So he's either got, my guess is he's got two more years of eligibility.
Two more if he wants to take his COVID
redshirt. So,
which at this point, like, gosh, it just, that makes everything so crazy. It does. These guys are playing like,
good for them, but it's also like, I think a lot of people would be like happy when that stuff's like the COVID red shirt. It's just, it's kind of messed up the numbers on things for people.
Yeah.
But, because Charles Thompson, Casey's dad, was quoted as saying, like, you know, basically his quote was something like, we're coming back, but we ain't sitting. We're starting.
So good, though.
And that's
competition, right, man. That means the quarterback you get between Casey Thompson and Jeff Sims is going to be the guy that's playing good football.
Right.
You know? That's good. We need more. Nick, we haven't had that around here in a long time.
Right.
I mean, we kind of had the McCaffrey-Martinez thing for a year, but I mean, it's been
– like Luke McCaffrey went and was a receiver at Rice.
Yeah. And that's a receiver. The receiver – we had to have a receiver give us competition.
Right, right.
Well, like I'm trying to think. I mean, besides that, I mean, Tommy Armstrong, I don't remember him having much competition.
No. It's been a problem. I mean,
Tanner Lee had no competition. Martinez walked in,
had him and Jebbia, and then Jebbia leaves, but then Martinez basically had no real competition for years.
Yeah, so I'd say the Martinez Jebbia was the best competition.
Yeah, probably. Other than that, it's been.
But then we lost Jebbia.
And then you lose Jebbia. But I think it's a great thing that Casey Thompson's coming back.
I think it's a great thing Casey Thompson's coming back. I think it's a great thing we got this Jeff Sims, because you know what we found out? You always need two quarterbacks.
Oh, yeah.
You got to have two.
Right. And so now it'll be interesting what happens with those other, you know, with Chuba, Smothers, Harburg, Richard Torres. Like, that's a lot. Are they going to have six scholarship quarterbacks? You know, that's
right.
There are going to be some dudes bouncing.
I mean, between Harburg and Torres. Smothers might just be in. He might just be like, I'm in for the long haul here.
Right.
But Chuba to me is the guy that's like, he's kind of the odd man out right now.
The thing that's weird is, I don't know how this works anymore now. It's like, because he already transferred. Like, because it started as like the one-time transfer rule. But so many times you see guys leave multiple times and they're eligible right away.
But can he do it since his coach?
But I think when a coach leaves, that opens the door.
Probably. So I think he has. Maybe he didn't take his because Frost was technically fired.
I would think.
Don't you have a certain window from when your coach is fired to enter the portal?
I thought so.
And that's why that Isaiah Garcia
Castaneda left.
Yeah. So I think it's like maybe 40-day window
to preserve the eligibility.
Yeah, so Chuba's going to get to play. So Chuba's stuck around. So
Chuba could be stuck. It's not the right way to put it, but Chuba could kind of be stuck here.
Unless he wants to
go sit out of you, which sucks, you know?
Yeah.
So we'll see. That quarterback situation and that quarterback room is crowded. But I like the picture of Casey and Jeff Sims.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, I think Royal is going to be in that room in a couple of years. I want to talk a couple of the staff for a second. Tony White is the defensive coordinator.
Yep.
Came from Syracuse. Now, when you initially see the news and you see that he runs a 3-3-5, you go, oh my God, 3-3-5 against Iowa, Wisconsin, Minnesota, like, oh my God. But Rule in his press conference basically said, listen, we're not necessarily going to run the 3-3-5. Like, we're going to run what fits. And referenced it, I think he ran 4-3 at Temple or 3-4 at Carolina. Like, he's done a little bit of everything. Now you look at like actually some of Tony White's like it was this is Huskerville put this out. So let me read some stuff on Tony White. He was the nation's most improved defense in 2021. In Syracuse moved up 93 spots in total defensive rankings when White took over. They ranked seventh nationally in defensive touchdowns in 2020 at Syracuse. They ranked top five nationally in interceptions of two of his final 3 years as cornerbacks coach when he was at San Diego State. He was top 10 nationally in defensive touchdowns in two of his 3 years at Syracuse. They ranked 19th nationally in total defense in 2021. So, like, he's another younger guy that hasn't been in it too terribly long, but he's got a relatively impressive resume for a short period of time. What – I mean, the 3-3-5, can you – I mean, I get – people like you can't help but picture 3-3-5 in your picture, like three down linemen and then like 5 yards off the ball, five people. It's not going to be like that. But can a 3-3-5 work in the Big Ten?
Yeah, I think it can. I also don't think it has to be only that. You know what I mean? Like, I think some people get too caught up in like, this is the only thing we can do every play. Like, you can run a 3-3-5. Some downs, a 4-3 some downs, right. Nickel some. You're going to be doing lots of things anyway. So maybe they're going to run no 3-3-5, but maybe they're going to have some of it, and that's fine. I think it's just the concept is there's a little bit more movement than a typical 3-4, right?
Right.
It just creates a little bit more movement with your linemen, I think, versus true like, you know, plugging up like two gapping sometimes right. Where the 3-4 would be. So from what I understand, is more movement kind of causes chaos a little bit, and that's what people like about it. But I got no problem with a 3-3. I don't really have a problem with schemes necessarily. I think you just got to be able to have the players that can run your scheme.
Right. I think so, Danny Woodhead even said that. He goes, people get way too caught up in scheme.
Yeah. Don't worry about scheme. It's not quite as important as scheme as long as like what they're teaching, they're good at teaching it.
Right.
And they got players that can fit it. And right. I think Rule, once again, has done a good job saying, like, it's not about scheme. It's about players. We'll fit the scheme to the
players. It's about players, and it's about the ability to fit fit those players into whatever system it works best for them. Yeah. And he also referenced that he likes it with Tony White because he's creative.
Yeah.
How do you feel about – I think – here's the – real quick, I think a lot of people, when they heard there was like, what was it going to be, a $7 million pool for assistant coaches, I think a lot of people in their head thought it was going to be like, you know, the 1992 dream team of like coaches, you know? I mean, it was going to be just these well-known, proven coordinators, position coaches, and it's not really been like that.
Yeah, this is the only guy that's probably outside of the Rule, like close inner circle. But you know, I think he's an up and coming name. He really is. You know, he's coached for a while, so he's not like he's not a newbie, but he's been a coordinator and an interim. So he's been a passing game coordinator, interim defense coordinator, defensive coordinator. You know, so like he's done this now for a few years at the coordinator level, right? But he's been a coach for, you know, let's see, since 2000, so 16 years almost, right? So he's been a coach for 16 years. He's done the college game for a while. So he's not new to coaching, but he's gotten his feet wet as a coordinator. So he's not a first-time coordinator. So we're not hiring necessarily a veteran coordinator. We're hiring more of an up-and-coming coordinator. And this is the first guy outside of Matt Rule's, like, closer inner circle.
Yes. I think one of the – to jump – ahead, because we'll talk at Satterfield here in a second, but like, I am a little, the only thing, if I had to poke holes, and I'll poke a hole at something here in a second, but like, I am, if there's one thing I wanted to see with this staff, it was Big Ten experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, I do think this league, now you could say, well, it's Donovan Rolla. He's got a year, he played in the Big Ten. What, I mean,
he's new to
the Big Ten too, in all reality. I do wish there was someone that has been in the conference recently on this staff, because I think that hurt Frost.
Yeah.
I think they came into this thing, and the Big Ten is probably the most unique league. I think it's SEC, Big Ten are the two best leagues. I think SEC's got the best talent. I think Big Ten's got the best coaching. And the Big Ten has just got so many teams that are just different, that it's ball control, run it. You understand all that. I wish there was somebody, and I was kind of hoping that somebody was going to be the defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
So initially, I was like a little disappointed with the hire. The more you read about it, the more you kind of digest it. It's not, I'm not as disappointed, but I was hoping there'd be some Big Ten experience on the staff.
Yeah, that would help. I think it would help. You know, he's more of a West Coast guy. I mean, if you look at this, he's UCLA grad. He's, you know, San Diego State, Arizona yes. State. He's a West Coast guy. So, I mean, maybe that'll help us recruit a little bit out there, recruit Arizona a little bit. That's great. California, Arizona. But he doesn't really fit into like Big Ten recruiting great, Texas recruiting, kind of what we've been talking about. You know, he's not a veteran. Doesn't have the Big Ten experience. So not like all home runs and those sort of like
checking that box
on those checks. Yeah. But like in the end, if you get a really good coach,
yeah, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter if you know what league you're from. But you know, if you get an average coach, the other stuff helps more.
Yes.
And so we'll find out, is he that good or is he average? Because if he's average and doesn't know the Big Ten and can't recruit the Big Ten, then it hurts us
right
a little bit more than it probably should. So we're nitpicking here, but like,
yeah, I'm not anti. I think
that's fair though. Because I mean, we were like, when we examined the Frost era, we examined a lot of that. Like they kind of didn't know what they were getting into.
You find it, your staff matters a ton. And you don't know what you're getting into. There's just this Big Ten world is different. I think Frost even said as much. You heard Mickey numerous times in his press conferences this year be like, man, this league's different.
It is.
This league is different, man. Mm-hmm. It's different. Marcus Satterfield, offensive coordinator. He's with Rule at Temple, Baylor, and then at Carolina. He was most recently the offensive coordinator at South Carolina. This year, South Carolina went 8-4. Most notably, they in the last 2 weeks of the season, they beat Clemson and Tennessee. They beat Tennessee 63-38 and then beat Clemson 31-30. So the offense had a lot of success against two of the 10 best teams in the country.
Yeah.
It does seem like he wants to throw it around a little bit. He did have Spencer Rattler this year. He's a guy that will run the quarterback. Rattler had 66 carries, which isn't a ton. To put it in perspective, Martinez carried it, I think, 144 times his last year at Nebraska. And Casey Thompson carried it 50-some times this year. So not a ton, but there will be some QB run game. Another guy I don't have a great feel for. I don't know. I mean, I think I was hoping for, you know, when you're open to God country option, Jeff Monken, anything I'm a guy that I'm more prone to want to get under center and run the ball.
Yeah.
So I'm going to, not as under center, just I want to run the ball. You know, Minnesota's out of the gun, but they run the ball. How do you feel about Satterfield?
I feel okay about him here. And here's why. I feel like this is the most like extension of Matt Rhule hire.
Right.
He hired this guy who's been with him before multiple places. It's one of his guys. Matt Rhule knows everything he's getting with this guy. There's no like whip frosting where they're like, oh, we're trying to figure each other out here.
Right.
Like, I want to do this. You want to do this. Like there was some butting of the head, some butting of philosophy. There's no butting of philosophies. This is a Matt Rhule extension.
Yeah.
It's not really like an independent coach. Like Tony
White could be a little bit of that.
There's a little bit of that. This is what I do. Let me do my thing.
Right.
Okay. I'll mold it a little bit more how you'd want it. But
no, you're right, though.
There's going to be more molding with Tony White. This is Matt Rhule, I think.
Yeah.
In my opinion, this is just Matt Rhule hiring one of his guys to do what Matt Rhule wants to do. So I feel okay about it because Matt Rhule knows exactly what he's getting. So this is more of a, you just have faith in Matt Rhule and Marcus Satterfield will be fine.
I agree. I have nothing to add to that. That's perfectly put. Cause I would say that's the best way to probably put it. I'm not like jumping for joy, but I think the way you kind of laid it out is good. All the other position coaches, you know, Rhule even said in his press conference that he's not going to hire a rock star staff and that, you know, that he likes young. They're all guys that seem young. They're energetic. I got no real hard opinion on any of these guys one way or the other. There are a lot of guys that have played for him or coach it. Like it's a,
it's a Matt Rule set. I mean, like,
well, and that's the thing too. I talked about this with Schick. One of the biggest silly narratives out there is I hear this from people all the time. Like, well, you know, this coach, I just told him to hire all his buddies and all his guys that he knows. It's like, show me a staff where some head coach filled all 10 of his assistants with guys that he had never met before, has no connection to, has never coached with them at all. Like we're creating this picture that doesn't exist.
No, it's because like when you're a coach, that's your life. Other coaches are your life.
Right.
And the coaches you meet are your life and you form connections with. And that's sort of your little world. And there's a lot of like instant changes of life for you. You're fired, this staff's here, I got a job there. And you got to make big decisions very quick with not a lot of information. And what do you do in those situations? You fall back on what you know, and it's the people you spend time with. Yes. All of your time in your life with, which is going to be these like the people, the coaches that you've worked with.
Right.
I've watched him coach. He's passed the test. Got it. Or am I going to interview 10 people that I've never met and just hope
like, that you're compatible and it works for sure.
Or you call like, if I'm a coach, if I'm me and I'm hiring people, I'm either hiring you or I'm calling you at some other school and saying, Nick, who do you got that could be my coordinator? And you go, Bo, my receivers coach. I would have him be my coordinator if I didn't have a guy.
Yeah.
And you'd say, hire him. I'd say, you got it. I trust Nick Baugh with my life. I'm hiring the guy Nick Baugh tells me to hire.
Right. So in one way or another, it's your circle that's helping you. Either you're hiring within that circle or using the circle to make an outside of the circle hire. You better believe that to hire Tony White, I guarantee Matt Rule called somebody in his circle.
He called Nick Baugh and said,
Tony White.
Nick, who should I hire?
I think you hired Tony White. So
that's how it works.
So I just, you know, people like, I just don't like that it's all his own guy. It's like that. Every staff is that.
Yeah.
Every staff is that.
I think the only time you hire bigger name, like I always think that it's like there's certain head coaches that sort of like, and some of the greatest ones are the ones that can coach all their coaches and coach all the positions. Yeah. Then there are other ones that are a little bit more hands-off guys who hire people with maybe bigger. I mean, even like think about 85 Bears, like Buddy Ryan and Mike Ditka, two big personalities, like, you know, like that's like a different situation. I think a lot of coaches, they want more just their guys. They're not going to be fighting with them. It's going to be more like, I think Matt Rule's more of a like, he's going to control everything.
Or you get to where you have such a machine rolling that Nick Saban can hire like, you know, he kind of has like a different offensive coordinator. You know, you could hire Lane Kiffin and then Steve Sarkisian and Bill O'Brien and all this stuff. Like,
but he's got the ability to coach the coaches.
Like
the best of them can coach the coaches and develop coaches. He kind of does bring it for offensive coordinators. He does kind of bring
in offensive coordinator is the main one that seems to change a lot, but he brings in a very well-known dude. Usually
that's the unique thing with Saban of late, which is interesting,
but either. Okay. You ready for if I have to be negative for a second, like,
yes,
this Matt Rule, you got up there and you told me it was all about the trenches. You told me this is what the key here in Lincoln, figuring out how to win here in Lincoln at Nebraska, is the trenches. It's all about the O-line and D-line. That's what this is going to be all about. And you go out and you retain an offensive line coach who's got 1 year of college coaching experience. That 1 year, we've already been over this, regardless of how you want to divvy up the blame pie, it didn't go well.
Mm-hmm.
He's not known as a great recruiter, but that's your O-line coach. And then your defensive line coach, Terrence Knighton, a guy that played for you, but he's only been a position coach in college for 1 year, and that was at Wagner.
Mm-hmm.
He was also an assistant D-line coach at Carolina, but only 1 year in college as a head D-line coach. So a grand total of 2 years experience between your O-line and your D-line coach with not a ton of recruiting prowess, and the resume is just, meh. I would say that's the only thing that I'm like,
Yeah, it doesn't feel like there's a lot of experience there.
No.
But once again, I think Matt Rhule is betting on himself.
Right.
That his experience is, and I would say he's kind of a rare guy that he kind of, I think he's coached O-line. He's, you know, like.
Oh, he's all the O-line. I think Matt Rhule is going to be like in that room a lot.
Yeah, so I think it's very fair what you're saying. Like, and I don't know that he landed like a big offensive line recruit, or I mean, we did get one guy from Arizona State in the transfer portal, which is like good. That might be a nice addition, right? He's played some football, and so I think we'll see what happens after like you know the whole transfer portal thing, because that's going to ramp up again in January,
yes.
I believe. So we'll see what we can. What the offseason holds for trying to get more offensive linemen here, but and defensive linemen. I think that's our two things.
Jesus.
They're going to have to keep hitting that portal hard right now because, I mean, the hires have not been, like, sexy hires.
No. And I just don't know if some of the hires have totally backed up what he has said. If I'm being – right now I'm being like, you know, he's talking about this thing. It's about trenches, O-line, D-line. And then he hires a guy that ran the 3-3-5. And again, I'm probably getting too caught up in that, and I realize that he's going to be – he's not necessarily going to run the 3-3-5, but at the end of the day, at Syracuse, he ran the 3-3-5. Now, they actually were okay against the run and all that stuff. And then you also then hire, you know, a coordinator that I think seems like he's more wants to spread it out and throw it a little bit. So if I have to be negative – I would be a little bit like,
It doesn't seem like he's like, I've hired the I formation coach and I've hired the 20-year offensive line coach and the 20-year
defensive line coach and the defensive coordinator that like the one thing that dude's been is rock solid in the trenches against the run, blah, blah, blah. And I'm nitpicking here, but if I have to, rather than just usually we turn on the mics and we just chug the Kool-Aid, if I have to like throw a little bucket of hot, cold water on everything like that, that was, I'm just going through, I wrote that down in my notes like a couple of weeks ago of like just everything that he said. And then I would say his hires have been like, I don't know if the hires fully match that so far.
I mean, Tony White, I would say is like, I'm not upset with the Tony White hire. I'm like,
yeah, the way you put it, like it's weird. I'm not in love with either hire, but I'm also not anti either hire. Like, especially the way you put it, like Tony White, like, okay. And then the Satterfield, the connection with him and Rhule, you can find a way to
there's synergy. He knows what he's getting there.
Absolutely.
And Tony White, like if he had never been a coordinator before, that would have been trouble. Like the fact is like, he's a guy that we stole away from Syracuse, right? Like I think they had a nice little turnaround there.
Yes.
And this is his second time being a coordinator.
Right.
So he was a coordinator at Arizona State. He was like basically passing game coordinator and then became the interim defense. So he's had experience at two different places. Like I think that's a good, like you just learn so much more if you have to do it in multiple places. You know, so I think that's good that he has at least he's got that experience. He's been a recruiting coordinator. Like even things like that, like, okay, these are good experiences to like have on a resume because it shows like, okay, I've taken more responsibility. I've done some things. I understand what is involved. This is not my first time trying to figure this thing out. I've done it. I've learned the mistakes. I'll be a little bit better.
And then the last thing with Satterfield, it's also good to think like that guy sat in a room, devised a game plan against Clemson and beat them.
That's what I'm saying.
Offensively. And
if we've beaten a Clemson around here in a long time,
or even like
good enough for me, right? This point,
Tennessee beat Alabama and he hung 63 on Tennessee. So, I
give him some credit.
I give him some credit there. To wrap it up, but a handful of things to hammer through here. There's been some guys that have left that I want to talk about. Trey Palmer, we expected that, you know, huge loss, but expected. Ernest Hausman, we talked about that a little bit. That one, there are certain ones that like, they really get you in your ribs and you're like, that one hurt a little bit. Can't believe a kid from Columbus, right?
Yeah.
Kid from Columbus left. I mean, I maybe can understand when you know, your coach leaves and Michigan's calling and you have to start over with a new coach and you can do it at Michigan or at Nebraska.
Yeah.
But that one hurts because man, he, by the end of the year, he was coming on.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the give and take in this situation when you make those changes.
Yes. You know, like that's going to happen. Yeah. I mean, it's just even for a guy that you didn't anticipate, like an Ernest Hausman, I would have thought Hausman, you know, like I would have put Hausman in the Henrich, like a guy that no way hit their league. And
yeah, surprise. I would have thought he would, you know, be a Nebraska kid, but you know, like I said, they got rid of his coaches, and you know, it's underestimated.
Yeah. Arguably the biggest one is Garrett Nelson.
That's a hard one because it's like he's already played four full years. Like he should be out. He shouldn't be coming back.
Right.
But he's such a tweener of like, is he an NFL guy or is he not? I don't know. That like you go, man, you could come here and almost make more money guaranteed than you could guaranteed making a team.
You know? Also wonder, and I don't know how you had been by the time you were a senior. Like by the time the 07 season wrapped up, not only had you exhausted all of your eligibility, you had been through a lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yep.
Multiple coordinators, multiple head coaches, turmoil. You had some great moments as a program, some found, like you had been through a lot.
Yeah.
Garrett's been through a lot.
They're
probably at that point where you're like, I'm ready to go sign with an agent, go to Arizona, train for the combine, and like move on with the next phase of my football life.
Yeah. And I wonder if he's talking to, you know, people, agents, and things, you know, that are giving him like, hey, it sounds like you got a chance to get drafted right. And make a team. And for him, that might be enough. That might be enough. Like, he just needed to be like, here's where they're ranking you right now. Here's where. It sounds like you're a sixth round pick or a fifth round pick. And for him, it's like, that might be enough.
And do you think there's certain guys that I don't know how much better film he can really put out there. Like if not to say he can't get better, he absolutely can get better. But I also don't know if there's just a ton for him to come back and gain on the field necessarily.
He only got so many good years. Like I think he's beat his body up pretty good too. Where
he had the elbow thing and all that stuff.
Yeah, like, he's a monster. But you know, it's like how many people make it more than 3 to 5 years in the pros? Like so, you know what? Like, and that league minimum is, you know, I think it's upwards of like $500,000 to
right. I don't know what it is now.
It used to be three,
but that's the difference.
300 something. Now it's like 700 something.
Yeah, you only have there's a clock. Yeah, the play with zero service will earn a minimum of $660,000. So yeah, it's around.
So he could probably do better in the pros than he could in college.
But yeah,
he could make 250 to. I mean, he could make $500,000 college.
But to your point though, it's like there's a clock. That's the difference. Like there's a clock that all athletes have where father time is coming for everybody not named Tom Brady or LeBron James. Like at some point, your body's just like it's done. And so, by the way, I guess you didn't see it. Jason Peter sent off a series of tweets after Garrett Nelson announced he was leaving. We always said that it was Ty Robinson and Jason that were like buddies. It might have been Garrett Nelson and him. You got to read some of the tweets. It's a six-part tweet. Said, where to begin? There were times over the past couple of years when this program was on the edge for whatever reason, but always at the center of it, making sure that everyone's focused on the task at hand and this week's opponent, today's practice, wherever it was, this man stood in the middle of it, trying to make sure everyone's focus was where it needed to be, whatever was needed in order for us to stay afloat. Whenever I needed something done, a message relayed to a position group or the team, there was only one guy I went to, and I knew I demanded the attention of everyone on that team. I tell Nelly he was born 20 years too late because he could have fit in right with our teams in the 90s. I would have loved seeing him standing next to me in the huddle. But unfortunately, for the program's sake, he came 20 years later because without these past few years, would have been rough. He's a coach's dream, hardest working guy in the field, leader of the team, making an impact off the field. This goes up. So, I mean, wow though.
Yeah, that's, I mean, what you can't ask for more than a Garrett Nelson. You can't. Like, no. He's a maximizer. He's
right.
He's energy, and he's a beast. I mean, the guy's physically a beast,
right.
But he gets everything out of himself. And he plays his freaking butt off.
Yes.
He plays. I thought he was good this
year. I did really too. I thought he was a good player last couple of years. Like, I mean, could you, you knew Garrett, you were going to get everything out of him.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was always going to be about the right thing, thinking the right thing. So, like, but for JP, JP's not an ass kisser. If anything, he's more prone to be like, you
can't. You're not good.
You're not looking good.
That means it's respect.
That's a lot of respect there from Jason. You know, Jason Garrett, when they had to, have, like, say how they felt to each other. Let's just put it to you this way. I don't want to smash your face. I kind of want to kiss your face. I mean, that lightly pep you in the head.
I hate you. I hate you too.
Okay. I want to. I think they just
wrestled. And when they were exhausted, they knew that that was their way of saying goodbye.
I appreciate wrestled you. That's what I'm trying to say, man. No, I'm seeing you every day and working. No, man.
You're ugly.
Get off me. You too, man.
Okay.
See you later. That's how Jason bonds with people.
Yep.
Now we fight. Okay. But Garrett Lawson gone. Garrett Nelson gone. Colton Feast. What? I'm confused with him. Is he?
I think he's just like, I'm done.
He's just going to go back to, where's he from? Like,
I think he's UTAN, maybe.
He's going back to UTAN and like.
On the track.
Just fill up people's gas. And be like, yep. You're looking at him.
Fill
her up, Colton. Like, yep. Once upon a time. Yep, you guessed it. Remember 2022?
Feist gas station. Welcome to Feist.
Welcome to Colton's
Feisty Petrol. Feisty Feist.
Lowest gas prices in the Utah Ashland area. Did I play in Nebraska? Oh, buddy, did I?
Yeah, I'll tell you stories.
But he played the second most snaps of any D lineman. So big loss again. And then O'Shawn Mathis. Mathis got sacks. He is not coming back either. He was a huge disappointment this year. I mean, I thought we were going to get like Reggie White, J.J. Watt.
He was just okay. He was okay.
But I mean, that's a Garrett Nelson, Colton Feast, O'Shawn Mathis.
Tanner's gone.
Tanner's gone. Like, holy moly.
Basically, it's Ty Robinson and.
And up. Is the mic back?
Are we back?
I think it's back. He's good. Yeah.
You can hear me? Okay.
Yeah, I see it's coming up. You're good. Yep. Okay.
So anyway,
it's Ty Robinson,
and then it's, you know, new guys for the backup roles. You have them step up, you know, and it's going to be an interesting see to who kind of fills in there.
Right.
Ooh, it's going to be an interesting.
It's going to be very interesting. We said, who's coming back? Said Casey Thompson. I think AJ Allen's coming back, which I think that's big. I liked him and before he got hurt. Jamari Butler went into the portal, peeked in there.
North Texas.
He like stepped. It's like an elevator. He stepped out on the wrong floor, and he was like, "Damn it!"
It's like he was like, "Dude, I'm breaking up with my girlfriend. There's this bar upstairs." He goes, "It's like all dogs. It's all dogs." He's like. He goes back there. He's like, you know, I was thinking about it, honey. He's like, we should give this another chance because
I went to the party and that's when I realized, girl, yeah, you're the only girl for me.
I just knew that we were meant to be or something. So he went back there.
Okay, that's what's different. And then anyone else? I don't know if there's anyone notable that has been like, I'm staying. And they're like, thanks a lot, Daryl. Drop pass. Yeah.
I decide to come back. It's like, you're on the team?
Were you? I want some walk-on that's never played to tweet, I'm back. At this point, I want that. That's what I want. Just somebody that's never played. I'm back. Great.
I'm coming back.
Couple other things real quick before we say goodbye. What vibe do you get from fans on excitement level with Rule and everything right now? Do you get like, what's the sense? You always talk about that when you're out doing your stuff with Stryker and hospitals. Like, I'd say it's fairly low right now. Like, people aren't necessarily anti-Rule, but I guess I don't sense that everywhere you go, everyone you talk to, they just want to talk about Rule and this and that. I don't sense that.
I think I told you I'm cautiously optimistic.
Right.
I think people are very cautiously optimistic, right. Like, not just like, hey, it's going to be, it's like, they've been beat down these last 5 years so badly.
You know what it is?
They are just, they're just trying to like, be like, okay.
You know what it is? And the reason this movie's fresh in my head because Marvin the other day decided he wanted to wake up at like 4:45 and he was just up for the day. And this might have been on like Christmas Eve or something like that. And I went downstairs and I turned on the TV and Jerry Maguire was on.
Oh.
Are Nebraska fans the women's group?
Yes.
That's pretty much like where they're all talking about how terrible men are. Yeah. And basically,
and Matt Rule walks in.
All right, I'm looking here for my program. And we're like,
I'm looking for Nebraska football. Wait a minute. Are we Renee Zellweger?
I think we would be Renee Zellweger.
Just shut up. Shut up.
You had me at Nebraska football.
You had me in Nebraska program?
By the way, did you ever hear Bill Simmons poked an enormous hole in, like, how did. So, who? Why about Cuba Gooding Jr.'s character's name? I'm a black guy.
Rod Tidwell.
Rod Tidwell. He makes an amazing play on Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
T. Cruz. That game's in Arizona. T. Cruz. He clearly goes to. Does he run to the airport?
Runs down a long hallway.
And I mean, if that's an airport, and he flies, this women's meeting is taking place at like 2 a.m. I suppose it's possible. I mean, he basically was like, I've averaged it out. When you look at any flight from Phoenix to L.A., it's not landing until, you know, and he's got to get to, it's basically okay. That meeting, those girls were meeting on Monday night at 2 a.m.
Monday Night Football, West Coast time. So maybe they played the game earlier, so it's.
So five, let's say the game kicked off at 6.
6, that's probably.
So it gets over at
7:30. Because he waited around to see Cuba, and then he went.
Yeah, they gave each other.
Yeah, like, so that means it's not over till 9:10. It's a late.
Yeah, it's a big hole. Poking
that's the magic of movies, though. You don't have to.
I love that movie, by the way. It's just so good. It's a great movie. If this is empty, this doesn't matter. I love. But no, Nebraska. They're the girls sitting around like, I'm looking for Nebraska football.
I'm looking for Nebraska football.
Okay, a couple of things. You know, I heard an ESPN guy say this on college football recruiting, the recruiting signing day. Nebraska really needs something good to happen early. They were talking about, like, what does Matt Rule need? He talked about that. It's something we've talked about it a lot of, like, that just never happened under Frost. It just never – there was never, like, a big moment early that got it up. Here would be the options. I wrote down a couple of things that could happen early.
Oh, I like this.
Number one. Landing Dylan Raiola. I suppose that would count. It's not on the field, but like you land Dylan Raiola, that's potentially a type of deal. Okay.
Yep.
Starting 2-0 next year.
See, Nick, here's why I like that. Here's why I like that. One, it's Minnesota, Big Ten game.
Yes.
PJ Fleck.
Yes.
Midwest. Two, the prime. Next game, it's prime. And everybody's going to be watching this game.
I bet Big Noon kickoff's there.
Yeah, it's going to be prime versus Matt Rule. And sort of it's going to be the battle of the new coaches, new hot coaches.
Right.
And if we take down prime.
And it's the rival. I mean, Colorado, that's a rival.
I mean, that was our rivalry.
Growing up, that was it.
But so, yeah, basically the 90s and 2000s, it was
Nebraska,
Colorado. And. Whoa, already getting kind of
gay. I am too. I got like goosebumps. Whoa. Like it was like Amazon. I'm going to order some goosebumps. Like, wrong house. Like, all right.
We have to talk about Amazon sometime soon because we had a great conversation at Florida.
Okay. All right. I'm intrigued. But no, you beat PJ Fleck in a Big Ten team and then you go beat a rival, Coach Prime, a huge moment. You start 2-0. That is something good happening early. And let's get crazy for a second.
Yeah.
You do that, you got a shot to start 4-0, and then Michigan's coming to town. Look at us already.
Let's not get past the 2-0. I like that. Let's not talk.
You don't want to talk Northern Michigan, Illinois and Louisiana Tech? Because then if you beat.
I can talk 4-0. I can't talk Michigan. I can talk 4-0.
The reality is, if you start 2-0, you got a great chance to start 4-0.
That those first two are gonna be tough though.
Oh, tough. PJ Flex gonna be like, I got something for your ass.
Yeah,
and it's called a handoff. But so, by the way, kind of lame. Matt Rhule home opener is until September 16th.
Oh,
I mean, how lame is that?
We're at Minnesota.
At Minnesota, at Colorado.
I mean, that's, who's doing our schedule?
I don't know.
I swear the Big Ten has just been like, they just said, you know who we should just always give the worst schedule
screw
to?
Screw Nebraska.
Yeah, there's no.
This is screw Nebraska.
My God.
But yeah, that'd be pretty good.
I mean, I'm already getting excited.
You getting excited about that? Okay, that's all I got that was all I got for now. I mean, you got any college football playoff prediction you want to make? Ohio State, Georgia? If there's a team that's got a chance, like there's a non-negotiable level of like dudes you got to have if you want to like beat and play with Georgia.
Yeah, to beat Georgia.
And Ohio State's one of like 2 to 3 teams in the country that's going to have the dudes to do it.
Does Michigan have the dudes?
I don't think so.
I don't think Michigan, after playing them, I'm like, they're good.
I thought they were better last year.
I do too.
And they got rocked last year. But Ohio State, I mean, like,
I think Ohio State has a better chance than Michigan for some
reason. I do too. That's what I'm not so sure the winner of that game isn't your national champ.
Yeah.
Even though Michigan beat Ohio State, TCU, I'm not sure what to make of them.
The watching Kansas State in a lot of ways outplay them. I feel like TCU is going to get spanked. And I think Georgia's going to
spank them.
I don't know if they're going to spank them. I think they're going to be
a homie clown situation.
Yeah, I think they're going to be.
Okay.
Because they're confident as hell right
now. Oh, my God. I mean, it's back-to-back titles for them.
They've got some dudes.
Did they even really get touched this year?
I don't know.
Like, did they have a game that was. I'm not sure if they. I mean, they. I'm sure that. Yeah, I mean, they. You know, they beat Kentucky 16-6, Tennessee 27-13. You know, so there were a few games, I suppose, that were like a little tight, but for the most part, no. So, okay, there you go. I love that we talked Jerry Maguire. That makes me happy.
Should we show him the money on the way out here? What do we close with? What do we close with?
Are we yelling? Show me them.
Or should we say? Or should we just tell
you
them?
You have me at hello.
You had me at Nebraska.
You had me at Nebraska football.
You had me at Nebraska football.
A Herd at Sports Network production.